Section 0 of Ancient Ballads and Legends of Hindustan by Toru Dutt. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Recording by Zeeshan Reshamwala. Ancient Ballads and Legends of Hindustan by Toru Dutt. Introductory Memoir by Edmund W. Goss. If Toru Dutt were alive, she would still be younger than any recognized European writer, and yet her fame, which is already considerable, has been entirely posthumous. Within the brief space of 4 years which now divides us from the date of her decease, her genius has been revealed to the world under many phases and has been recognized throughout France and England. Her name, at least, is no longer unfamiliar in the ear of any well-read man or woman. But at the hour of her death, she had published but one book, and that book had found but two reviewers in Europe. One of these, Monsieur André Thorier, the well-known poet and novelist, gave The Sheaf Gleaned in French Fields adequate praise in the Revue de Du Monde, but the other, the writer of the present notice, has a melancholy satisfaction in having been a little earlier still, in sounding the only note of welcome which reached the dying poetess from England. It was while Professor Minto was editor of the Examiner that one day, in August 1876, in the very heart of the dead season for books, I happened to be in the office of that newspaper and was upbraiding the whole body of publishers for issuing no books worth reviewing. At that moment, the postman brought in a thin and sallow packet with a wonderful Indian postmark on it and containing a most unattractive orange pamphlet of verse printed at Bhawanipur and entitled A Sheaf Gleaned in French Fields by Toru Dutt. This shabby little book of some 200 pages without preface or introduction seemed specially destined by its particular providence to find its way hastily into the waste-paper basket. I remember that Mr. Minto thrust it into my unwilling hands and said, "There, see whether you can't make something of that." A hopeless volume, it seemed, with its queer type, published at Bhawanipur, printed at the Saptahik Sambad Press. But when at last I took it out of my pocket, what was my surprise and almost rapture to open at such verse as this: "Still barred thy doors, the far east close, the morning wind blows fresh and free. Should not the hour that wakes the rose awaken also thee? All look for thee, love, light, and song, light in the sky deep red above, song in the lark of pinions strong, and in my heart true love. Apart we miss our nature's goal, why strive to cheat our destinies? Was not love made for thy soul, thy beauty for mine eyes? No longer sleep, O listen now, I wait and weep, but where art thou?" When poetry is as good as this, it does not much matter whether Rouvière prints it upon Whatman paper, or whether it steals to light in blurred type from some press in Bhawanipur. Toru Dutt was the youngest of the three children of a high-caste Hindu couple in Bengal. Her father, who survives them all, the Babu Govind Chandra Dutt, is himself distinguished among his countrymen for the width of his views and the vigour of his intelligence. His only son, Abju, died in 1865 at the age of 14, and left his two younger sisters to console their parents. Aru, the elder daughter, born in 1854, was 18 months senior to Toru, the subject of this memoir, who was born in Calcutta on the 4th of March, 1856. With the exception of 1 year's visit to Bombay, the childhood of these girls was spent in Calcutta, at their father's garden house. In a poem now printed for the first time, Toru refers to the scene of her earliest memories, the circling wilderness of foliage, the shining tank with the round leaves of the lilies, the murmuring dusk under the vast branches of the central casuarina tree.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?